Let's lift our hands. Let's just begin to pray in tongues right now. And as we begin to pray in tongues, just begin to pray that prayer. Open the heavens. Open the heavens, Lord. That's our prayer. It's not just a song, Lord, tonight. We lay our lives at your altar, Father God. We're saying, open the heavens. We're speaking over every leader, over every church, over our lives. We want an open heaven, Lord God. Lord, we say, open the heavens and come down. Lord God, again, do it again. Do it again, Lord, do it again. That we have. We want more, Lord. We want more of you. We want more of you, Holy Spirit. That's why we're praying. That's why we're singing, Lord. Open the heavens. Open the heavens and come down, Lord, and reveal yourself to London, Lord. Even this week at the Three Witnesses Drama, Lord, open the heavens over every friend. Open the heavens over every person that we're going to witness to. Bring them, Lord God. Reveal Jesus to them, Lord. Open the heavens that the Holy Spirit convict them. In Jesus' name, Lord, let there be a great harvest this week. Let there be a great harvest of souls, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, open the heavens. Open the heavens, Lord. Open the heavens, Lord. Open the heavens again. Open the heavens and come down. Rend the heavens and come down and visit your church and visit your people and visit this platform and visit our lives, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we're hungry. We're hungry for more. We're hungry for more of you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Now lift your hands right now. And if you're hungry for God, just ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. Your anointing is there for a reason. Your anointing is there for a purpose. Father God, you're commissioning us to do something great for you this week, this year. We need your anointing. We need your empowerment. We need your filling, Lord God. Oh, Father God, send us to the right people at the right place in the right time. Distract us from people who are time wasters, people who are drawing our energy away, Father. People who are drawing us out of a spirit of faith. Father God, draw us into the Holy Spirit to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. Reaching the people that you want us to reach. Discipling the people that you want us to disciple, Father. Being effective, Lord. Sharpen us, Lord God. Sharpen us, Lord. We would be effective for you, Father. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Turn your Bibles to Luke's Gospel chapter 3. But before we do that, just want to pray for somebody who's got back pain. You've got back pain in this place today. You've been suffering from backache and back pain. I want you just to stand on your feet right now. I'd like to pray with you. If that's you, just stand right now, right across this place. Could be more than one person. Just stand right now in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to put your hand next to them, the people who are sitting next to them. I just want you to begin to pray right now in the name of Jesus. Just begin to play. Just begin to pray for them right now. And if the ministry team can just get up and look around and see where these people are and go to them right now. And I want you to, as I said that word in the offering, I want you to speak to that back pain in the name of Jesus. I want you to speak to that back pain. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I command that back pain in your life to come out in the name of Jesus. I curse that back pain in the name of Jesus. I command you to be healed right now. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet in the name of Jesus. Oh, I command the muscles to be healed and the structure of the back to be in alignment in the name of Jesus and the hips to go back into place and the knees to be strengthened right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Align right now. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Receive. Receive His healing right now. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Someone's feeling a fire on their back right now. You're being healed. You're being healed right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to do something you couldn't do before right now. Begin to check it out. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, just begin to thank Him. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Someone, just give me a wave. You felt the healing power of Jesus right now. The pain is gone. Amen. The pain is gone right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Now, I heard of the word, somebody who's suffering from stomach problems, that could be either today that came on, or it's something that's on a chronic thing, something that keeps happening to you. I want you just to stand right now. If that's you, you just got suffering from stomach problems, we want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know what the problem is right now, but we're praying for the Holy Spirit to do a supernatural correction in your belly in the name of Jesus. So if the person's standing right now, just go to them. If the ministry team can go to them, look around ministry team, find those people in the name of Jesus. Lay your hands up on their stomach and just begin to pray right now and rebuke that pain in Jesus' name. Rebuke that pain and rebuke in the name of Jesus and command an alignment in Jesus' name, the right acid, the right balance in the name of Jesus, the right chemical balance to come into your body right now in the name of Jesus, in your digestive tract right now in Jesus' name. Father God, we believe you right now that you are releasing your healing power upon the stomach area and in the bowel area right now, and you are strengthening and you are healing in the name of Jesus. Father, rebuke every curse of the enemy in the stomach in the name of Jesus Christ, and right now release the blessing of healing and health in the name of Jesus. We command your stomach to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Receive it right now. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father God. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to minister tonight on breakthrough evangelism. Breakthrough evangelism, and that's not a surprise as we were ministering on evangelism yesterday. So turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel and chapter 3. Thank you, Father God. And verse 18 onwards. There's two scriptures that I want to share tonight that I want you to remember and pray through. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit. From without me, you can do nothing. Jesus said, without me, without my presence, you can do nothing. So if we're going to be effective in witnessing and discipling just in our lives, then we need to make sure that we're abiding in the vine. And then Jesus looked at them in Matthew 19 and he said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. How? With God. With God. When I was in Romania last week, I said to the team, with God. That's the message I'm giving you. With God, you can do it. With God, you can preach. With God, you can heal the sick. With God, you can cast out demons. With God, you can raise the dead. With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. I mean, if God's there, nothing's going to be impossible. The problem is sometimes God's not there. We're trying to do something that God's not doing. Now, I've been there when we tried to raise the dead when I was 18 years old, and we're praying and praying and praying. We hadn't had a word from God, and what happened after that? God wasn't there. God wasn't raising the dead, and what happened? We got tired. We got tired. I don't know if you've been there. You're trying to do something that God's not doing. You don't have God's wisdom for it, and you just get tired. And that's a bit like life in discipleship or evangelism. If God is not doing something, if God's not breaking through, then we can't do it. No man is going to get saved next week on Friday night. No person's going to get saved without the Holy Spirit. How is a man born again? By the Spirit of God coming to live inside of him. The sin is repented of, and the Holy Spirit, he's a Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell on the inside of you, and he makes you born again. He transforms you from the inside. So it's the Holy Spirit that draws you in the first place to God. Every one of you got saved because the Holy Spirit drew you. He convicted you. Jesus said in John 14, the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's the Holy Spirit. And if there's anybody here tonight, and you're not a Christian, and you're not following God, I'm telling you, I'm not here to persuade you. It's the Holy Spirit who will persuade you tonight. It's the Holy Spirit who will convict you. I might not even confront you about your sin, but as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit might remind you of an area of your life that you need to repent of. Because it's the Holy Spirit who convicts people of sin. And that's how you come to God. Now, the Holy Spirit is here. And in Luke's Gospel 3, Jesus was being baptized. Now, many people, we don't rely on the Holy Spirit, but Jesus fully relied on the Holy Spirit. He needed the Holy Spirit. He submitted himself to the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit, in bodily form, descended like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Well, there's three things that happened there. The heavens were open. The heavens were open. I don't know about you, when you need a breakthrough, sometimes it feels like the heavens are closed. You're praying to God and you're crying out to God, Lord, save my family. Do something. Lord, I want to lead someone to Christ. I want to do something for you. And there's no answer, no reply. Jesus, he made a step of obedience, and the Bible says the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form. And as soon as the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, this is like a picture of you being born again. The Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you, and you hear a voice from heaven that says, you are my beloved Son. You are my daughter. In you, I am well pleased. So Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. Then turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. So Jesus, number one, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. And in a sense, he was born again. There was something there of the new creation, a picture of what happens in our lives. And then he was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how many people have been filled with the Spirit tonight? I want to tell you tonight, it's not enough for you to just be filled with the Spirit. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptized on a regular basis, not relying on yesterday's baptism. We were in Romania and we saw these young people as we were teaching on knowing the Son, and we were teaching on Jesus, and the team, as they begin to teach on this, the Holy Spirit started to fall on the people. Now that's exactly what we're praying before we went to Romania. We were praying this prayer in Acts chapter 10 where Peter was preaching, and it says as Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on the people. I mean, fell like a blanket on the people. They just fell over because the power of the Holy Spirit was there. And so we were praying this in faith. And when they were teaching in a Bible seminar, the Holy Spirit just began to move. And all of these young people started to fall over in the power of the Holy Spirit so much they couldn't even get back up. One young man, he'd been backslidden on a regular basis. He came back just recently and he was on the floor for a whole 1 hour full of the Holy Spirit. Now I tell you, now, we could have taught our ideas, but I tell you something, when the Holy Spirit does something, these people are going to be changed. And it's the same for us tonight. We need a touch of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 14, it says here, then Jesus returned in the power, the dunamis, the power of the Spirit of Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. Wow. Well, everybody knew Jesus. Surely everybody knew Jesus, didn't they? I mean, surely everyone knew Jesus as a carpenter's son. Everyone knew Jesus. Suddenly he was baptized and he receives the Spirit. And almost seamlessly, towards the end of the chapter, in the beginning of chapter 4, suddenly everybody knows about Jesus. How did they know about Jesus? How did the breakthrough come? It happened when he received the power of the Holy Spirit. He went through fasting and prayer for 40 days and 40 nights. He was seeking more of God. And as he was obedient to God, he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he gets up in the temple and he reads this in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. How many people want the anointing? Who want the anointing? I mean, I think Kensington Temple must have prayed this prayer more than any other prayer in the history that I've been here in the church. That we want the anointing. We're a church that desires the anointing. I mean, we want the anointing. Now, what is the reason for this anointing? Is it to feel good? To leave tonight and say, wow, during Jono's song, open the heavens, I just felt the power of God. Now, what are we going to do with this power? What are we going to do with this feeling? What are we going to do with this Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus said, actually, I've received the power. I have been filled. But I tell you, the Spirit is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach. He has anointed me to preach, to speak out, to shout out, to bring the good news of the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim, to herald out the year of the Lord's favor. Now there's something to do. You are called to do something for Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you have been anointed. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you've been empowered, you have something to do for God. That's what Jesus was saying here. He said, I'm anointed to preach. So I want to preach. I'm anointed to heal. Heal the brokenhearted. Give me someone who's sick. I'm going to heal them. Give me someone who's emotionally sick. I'm going to heal them by the anointing. That's what Jesus is saying. To proclaim liberty or open the prison doors. Liberty to the captives. Now there's many people captive out there tonight. Now you might be captive in here tonight. You might be going through a tough time. The anointing is here to set you free. That's one of the reasons why you'll respond in the ministry team, because you believe that there's an anointing here in Kensington Temple. And as we lay hands on you, you're going to receive a sense of freedom. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have something to do for God. Now, sometimes in church life, we waste time. We waste time with time wasters, energy zappers, people who just talk to you. And after you've talked to them for 5 minutes, you feel like going to bed. You feel like going to sleep because you're so tired. They've literally exhausted you. Now, I prayed a prayer this year, and it was quite a simple prayer. Lord, I want to be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. I don't want to be doing the wrong thing. I don't want to be with the wrong people, with those energy zappers, those people who literally get all the energy out of there. You don't even want to follow God anymore because you're literally zapped of all the strength. And most of these people are speaking negative words and negative content. They're themselves. They need healing themselves. And I prayed. I said, God, there's somebody out there who needs what I've got. There's somebody out there who needs what you have got. Now, that can come across a bit arrogant, you know, but I'm saying there's nothing in me to give. I've got nothing to give. But what is in me is something to give. And who is in me is the Holy Spirit. And God has gifted me, and he's gifted you, and somebody out there needs that gift. Somebody out there needs that miracle that you have right now. The testimony that you have, something that God's doing in you, needs to be given to somebody else. That's what Jesus was saying here. The anointing is upon me to preach, to heal, to do something. So Jesus needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 8 here. Now, if you've been here at church for quite a long time, then you'll just love being here in KT. I mean, it's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. I mean, like a sponge. If you're feeling tired, you come in, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. The anointing's on the worship, the anointing's on the preacher. I mean, some people stay here the whole day. Anybody been here the whole day today? I mean, you're so hungry for God. Now, thank God. Thank God that you can do that, but that's not me. That's not me. I thank God I can be here the whole day, but after a while, I get frustrated. I get frustrated. Why? Because I want to reach somebody who doesn't know Jesus. And the more that I'm in this building, in fact, there's hardly anybody in this building tonight who doesn't know Jesus. There might be one or two people, or maybe it's up to 15 people that we see responding our altar calls, but many people are out there who don't know Jesus. And that's where I want to be. And that's where you should desire to be. Somebody right now who's crying out to God. Now, I heard an amazing testimony this morning, and I was sitting next to Judah. He was on my lap, and we were doing the XCE course. How many know about the XCE course? Started in the lower hall. You still can attend that next week. It's the final opportunity for you guys. And I was saying to Judah, listen, it's about time you led someone to Christ. That's what I said to him. I said, it's about time you led someone to Christ. And watching the XCE, I said, pick three people that you know at nursery, because I know in the nursery there's some Muslims who need being saved, and he's got this anointing of slapping people, so I thought if you're going to be anointed, something could happen. Hey, God can use anybody. So I was just saying that to him and saying you can win someone to Christ. Anyway, one of my guys was calling me in the morning and say, hey, I need to get a hold of you. He runs into the office just before we're about to go downstairs, and he says, hey, he's done something. I said, I felt threatened at that point. I thought, what has he done? Is he going to complain? I've got my guard up straight away. What has he done? What are you going to complain about? And he was, but my friend, he was babysitting. Judah was at his house on Friday night, and we're looking after him. Anyway, Judah loves playing on the phone. And just randomly, Judah called a number on the phone. Now we know this can happen anyway. Kids like playing with phones. But the person he called was a lady who hadn't come to church for quite a long time. And the lady in question was praying for this lady to be saved, but she's lost contact with her and thought that she wasn't interested. So Judah pressed the number, and obviously no one answered. There was no one except Judah. He's not going to say anything to this lady. So this was just a missed call. Anyway, this lady in question was she was a bit concerned. She thought, oh my God, I haven't called this lady for a while. Then she gets a missed call from me. What am I going to say to this lady? Anyway, the next day she calls her and she says, oh, it's amazing that you called me yesterday because I was crying out to God for help and I needed someone to help me. And then you called me last night. Hallelujah. It's amazing how God can work. So in a sense, my prayer was answered. He's already evangelized. And hallelujah. Amen. That is a Holy Spirit led moment, a divine appointment. And that's what I'm going to discuss right now in Acts chapter 8. We see here Philip in Acts chapter 8, he's in a revival. I mean, he goes down to Samaria, the sick are healed, people, demons are cast out. I mean, who was Philip until Acts chapter 8? Nobody even knew him. He was there in Acts chapter 6 waiting on tables before Acts chapter 6. Who was he? He was probably part of the 3,000 or the 5,000. Don't even know who he was. He wasn't on the scene. He wasn't the main guy. And then suddenly revival hits, and here's Philip going down to Samaria, and revival's there. Many people are being saved and baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then the angel says to him in verse 26, the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza. This is desert. I mean, nobody tonight wants to leave KT and go to a desert. I mean, Colin is encouraging you to go to the Sahara Desert, North Africa, out there, right there where there's desert, where people who are mostly Muslim who need Jesus because they've never heard about Jesus. Colin is encouraging the church to go there. And how many people want to go there tonight? Hallelujah. Everybody, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I can see you moving in the spirit right now. Nobody wants to go to the desert. So it's got to be a Holy Spirit thing that the Holy Spirit sends you. And by the way, if you haven't heard, over 100,000 Berber tribe people are being saved in Algeria right now. And the church is growing. It's the fastest growing church in North Africa there in Algeria. So we thank God the Holy Spirit is moving there. And here Philip gets the word, listen, go down to the desert road, the right place, the right time, and the right person. That's where he's gone. I don't know about you, but I want to be where the angel of the Lord has sent me. I want to be where the Holy Spirit is sending me. Because the place where the Holy Spirit is sending you, whether it's here in London or out there on the mission field, is where you need to be, is the place of being effective. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all the treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to him, go near and overtake the chariot. Go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? How can I understand unless somebody guides me? Now there's people out there tonight who are asking exactly that same question. He's a man from Ethiopia. He's desiring God. He's reading the scripture. And Philip's in a revival. God gets him out of the revival and says, go to the desert road. And the Spirit speaks to him, go and overtake the chariot. So Philip, what does he do? He explains the scriptures to him. The place in Isaiah 53, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered, Philip said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened up his mouth. Hallelujah. And beginning at the scriptures, he preached Jesus to him. How did he preach Jesus? Because the Spirit led him to the right person in the right place at the right time who is saying, what does this scripture mean? And there's people out there tonight, just like that lady that I shared about, she wanted to come to church. She was hungry to come to church. All she needed was a telephone call. There's people out there tonight, and I want to reach them. How many people you want to reach them tonight? I want to reach every single person like that tonight who needs Jesus Christ. One of my friends in the cell group, he said to me one day, I mean, power-hungry Christians. People are just hungry. They're like Holy Spirit junkies. So if they don't get a Holy Spirit injection, they feel like, my God, my world is over. Now, I believe that God gives more power to those who are faithful with the power they've already received. So if you've received the Holy Spirit, what are you currently doing with the Holy Spirit? Are you going to the people that the Holy Spirit is guiding? You ask him to use you, speaking. So he said, God, Christian, I'm feeling down. I need the Holy Spirit. I need a breakthrough. I want God's power in my life. How many people want God's power? We all want God's power. I need a breakthrough. I said, oh, great. If you want a breakthrough, let's go and visit somebody. Now his mind started to boggle. Let's go and visit somebody. I said, I tell you what, let's go and visit somebody who lives the furthest away. Now, suddenly, discouragement started to come in. A spirit of discouragement. Further away? Hang on a minute. I need to go to work tomorrow morning. It's about 7 o'clock, 7:30. I said, I thought that you wanted to receive the power of God. I thought you want God to move in you. Yes, yes, oh, yes, yes. Can't you just pray for me right now? I said, no, let's go and visit somebody who needs Jesus. So I remembered a guy who lives all the way down East London. I said, let's phone this guy. So I persuaded him. He said, oh, come on, let's do it. So I phoned the guy. I said, hey, where are you at the moment? It turns out he was just nearby. So we went to visit him in Warren Street in McDonald's. And as we begin to talk to the guy, it turns out that the guy said to us, he said, you know what? I don't believe that you guys called me at the moment that you called me. Because before you called me, I was asking God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to send somebody to me to speak. I need you to speak to me. And then you guys called. And so as the conversation went on, I asked him, I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, are you a Christian? Are you born again? If you'd have died tonight, would you go to heaven? And he said, well, I'm from a Christian background, but I don't have peace in my heart. This is what I'm struggling with, this unforgiveness and this sin that I'm going through. And I said, well, I can lead you right now to receive Jesus. Do you want that? He said, yes, hallelujah. And right there on the spot, he gave his life to Jesus and tears were coming to his eyes. Then I turned to the guy who wanted to receive the power of God and he was like, wow, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Jesus has used us to touch someone else's life. And I taught him, I said, if you want to see the power of God, you've got to step out of your comfort zone. You've got to step in to do something where God is, what God is doing. And here, Philip stepped out of the revival and he stepped into a divine appointment. Hallelujah. A God appointment. And this means, what does it mean for us? It means that the whole of Ethiopia heard the gospel. That's how significant this divine appointment was. Now, Philip, all he wanted to be was just be in a nice cell meeting, in a nice church building, and just continue to receive from the revival. No, the angel of the Lord said, listen, it's time for you to get out of here and go to the right kind of people. To the right kind of people. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 9. Sometimes you need to conquer your own fears, your own worries, and your own anxieties, and what you're going through in order to grab a hold of those divine God moments. Hallelujah. If you remain under anxiety, you'll never step out and you'll never do anything for God. I was sharing with the team in XCE downstairs, so it is with you, it is with me. I went through a 6-month challenge of fear in my life. I felt I couldn't preach. I couldn't speak to people about God. 6 months when I was 18, and I was battling with this. I was hungry for God. I remember sitting down with the evangelism director and telling him all the visions that I've received and how the Holy Spirit was moving in my life. And he said to me, listen, you need to go and lead an evangelism team. And then fear and anxiety settled in. I never even knew what it meant to lead an evangelism team or even speak to people about Jesus. So 6 months I was struggling with this. And I tell you, I had to seek God. I had to go and ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill me. But every week I started to go out and evangelize anyway. And I remember God started to anoint me in the place of prayer. So when I'd pray, the presence of God would come. And so we'd have these all-night prayer meetings and these evenings of prayer. So when we go out in the street, I would be the one who is praying. And I'd look at the guy who was preaching and I'd think, my God, how does he do that? I mean, preaching in the street. How does that man do that? I remember thinking as an 18-year-old, how can he do that? I can't do that. How can he do that? He's fearless. And I remember just praying and he said, Christian, it's about time you preached. I said, well, I'm not ready to preach because I was scared. And he started telling me, oh, but when you pray, I just feel the anointing increases. So I begin to preach more. And I said to him, listen, thank God, I'm going to continue to pray and you're going to continue to preach. Because that was where I was. I was in a bell. I wanted to get people saved. I wanted to preach, but I was in that place of prayer. And after 6 months, I went on a mission to Finland, and the missions director at the time, Phil Whitehead, just said to me, listen, I want you to preach for 2 minutes. I was petrified. And then he said the key word, just pick a scripture, any scripture, and preach that. I thought, I can do that. So I turned any scripture. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So I quickly preached that verse. I don't know what I said apart from the scripture, but I quickly got up and quickly got back down. Anyway, something happened. Something changed in me as a result of stepping out and confronting my fear. When I came back, it was almost like the anointing increased, the boldness increased, and I was more determined. I got into the prayer meeting. I went to the prayer meeting, and I came out of the prayer meeting more supercharged. I thought, I'm ready now. It took 6 months. I was ready. And I remember saying to the guy on the street, I said, I'm doing it tonight. He couldn't believe it. He was shocked. I'm going to do it tonight. I got on the ladder, and I preached for a whole hour. I preached so much, my voice disappeared. Hallelujah. And I got so hungry for preaching that I wanted to preach again the same night. I couldn't even speak. So I got on the ladder again. I said, you need to know Jesus. Because I was just so determined. I tell you, you need to confront your fears tonight. Hallelujah. This week, I believe that this week, God will give you some divine appointments. Why? Because next Friday, God has a Holy Spirit agenda. This drama production is coming in here. The gospel is going to be preached. And we want to see the house filled with people that God is moving on. And he's moved on your life, and he's opened up opportunities, and you have brought the people in. Hallelujah. A Holy Spirit opportunity. Now, Acts chapter 9, here we read the story of Ananias. Ananias doesn't really get a mention half the time. But Ananias was key in the life of Saul. He was key in the life of Saul. We know that Saul got knocked off his horse. He got blinded, and he got saved in many ways. And God said, listen, go to where I show you to go to. And then he was on his way to Ananias' house. In verse 10 of Acts chapter 9, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in the vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. Now that's the response of anybody who wants to follow God tonight, isn't it? I mean, anybody who's serious about following God, despite their fear, despite their struggle, that when God turns up and God speaks to you, just saying, God, despite what I'm going through, here I am. What is it, Lord? So that's what Ananias' response is. He knows the situation. So the Lord said, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias says, Lord, I've heard many things about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentile kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered the house, laying his hands on him. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road to Damascus as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales and received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And so when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some time with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached to Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Look at this. Ananias is suffering from anxiety and worry. He's worried about Saul. He's worried about the persecution. He's worried about many things. But the Lord turns up and says, listen, I want to use you to go and minister to this man who's been persecuting the church. I've met with him. I have chosen him. He's the right man for the job. And I'm going to anoint him. And guess what? I'm going to use you to anoint him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Despite my worry, despite my anxiety, God's going to use you in the name of Jesus. Pray this prayer. I'm praying this prayer. God, send me to the street called Straight. What's that street called Straight? The street called Straight is where the souls of this day are currently living right now. The souls of this day will want to receive these hands. Hallelujah. These anointed hands, because these anointed hands want to touch this soul, this chosen vessel, and I want scales to fall from his eyes, and I want him to receive the Holy Spirit. Because in the church right now, we are in desperate need in KT and also nationally for new leaders to rise up in the name of Jesus. New game changers, hallelujah, like Saul. When Saul was stirred up to preach and Ananias anointed him, he got filled with the Spirit, it changed the whole sphere of the church. I mean, from then on, all you hear about is Paul. Paul preaching here, Paul preaching there, churches being planted here, churches being planted there. I mean, massive revival all over the place, all because Ananias said, "Here I am, Lord." Right place, right time, right person. That's my prayer. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you would send all of us to the right people, the right place, at the right time, reaching the right people. If the band can return right now. It's divine appointments that the Spirit connects us to. And in Acts chapter 16, you'll read how Paul was preaching the gospel. I mean, he was preaching the gospel in such a way, I mean, more radical than any one of us here today. I mean, this guy is on fire. He's reaching loads of people. And God says to him, listen, I don't want you to go to Bithynia. I don't want you to go to the region of Galatia. He was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So that shows you in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 that sometimes God forbids you to continue in an area. I mean, it's a good thing to preach the gospel in every area, but sometimes the Holy Spirit says, this is not the right time. I want to reach those people. It's just not the right time. And after they had come in verse 7 to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them again. So passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Hallelujah. These people from Macedonia, they were calling out to God. They were calling out to God in such a way. Paul was about to go to Asia, Galatia, and preach the gospel on his campaigns. He was busy doing something with God, as some of we are today, doing our cell groups and our discipleship, and that's great. But I tell you something, it's not great if we're doing the wrong thing. The right thing, but the wrong thing, not the Holy Spirit thing. We need to be doing what the Holy Spirit is doing. The people of Macedonia, that's where Paul had to go. Why? Because the Lord was sending him there. And I ask you the question, where is the Lord sending you tonight? What type of people is the Lord sending you? He's not asking you to save those people. The Holy Spirit will save those people. He's just asking you to be open to him. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. Just let's bow our heads in prayer right now. I want you to just begin to pray in tongues right now. And I want you to begin to say to the Lord, Lord, send me to the right people. Send me to the right place. Pull me out of distraction. Pull me out of fear. Pull me out of anxiety in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, give me a divine appointment this week, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, it would be awesome if some of us here, if not all of us here, could bring somebody to church on Friday night. It would be awesome, Father God, to see us bringing somebody into the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, it's you. It's your leading. It's your guiding. It's the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we want to be a part of your ministry. We want to be a part of what you're doing. That's revival. That's revival. That is a Holy Spirit service. Being where the Holy Spirit is sending us. Doing what the Holy Spirit is doing. Lord, we pray for sensitivity. And we ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, across all of the different cell groups that we have, across all of the different ministries that we have, we ask you that the Holy Spirit would start to speak. The Holy Spirit would start to break in the name of Jesus. Just pray right now in tongues. Pray right now. Hallelujah. Send me to the right people. Lord, let the Phillips arise in this house. Let the Pauls arise in this house. In the name of Jesus, Father, to a new level of anointing, a new level of hunger and desire for the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit's agenda. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Now I'm going to pray for people in this place today who don't know Jesus. If you don't know his forgiveness, you haven't received him as your Lord and Savior. And as I've been preaching, the Holy Spirit has been convicting you. He's been speaking to you. And you find yourself like Saul, a rebellious against God. But as in a sense, we as Ananias want to lay hands on you tonight, that your eyes will be open and you'd receive Christ tonight. You'd receive his grace and his acceptance and his forgiveness. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And if you're in this place today and you need his forgiveness, I want to pray with you. After this prayer, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. And I'm going to pray for you, especially if you want his forgiveness. Say this prayer in your heart tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I come to you. I admit that I need you. I admit that I'm a sinner. Today, I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again on the third day. And today, I make a decision to receive you as Lord into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be the Savior of my life. For this day, I choose to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If that's you right now and you need his forgiveness, just lift your hand right now. And I want to pray with you right across this place today. You need his grace. You need his forgiveness. And you say, I want Jesus in my life. You prayed that prayer and you need him in your life. Lift your hand high right across this place tonight in the balcony. And when you lift that hand, you're not lifting it to me. You're lifting it to heaven. Heaven sees that hand. Sees the hand that says, hey, God, I need you. Hey, God, I want your grace. Lift your hand high right across this place today. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, that you're convicting people, you're changing people, you're touching people right now. I want those people who have lifted their hand, I just want you to stand on your feet right now. Those who have lifted your hand, just stand up right now. I'm going to pray with you. If you're in this place right now and you need to recommit your life to Christ, just stand with them right now because I want to pray for you in this place. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, break it. Holy Spirit, break out. Thank you, Father God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Father God, we pray, if everyone could pray right now. Father, we pray for every person who's standing. Lord Jesus, they are meeting with you right now. They're serious about you. They're saying, God, I need you in my life. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd cause them to be born again. You cause them to be changed in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I pray tonight that they would receive the Holy Spirit. That you would visit them, you would be upon them, and they would know your destiny for their lives. Seal their salvation in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give these people a round of applause. We just want to spend a few moments with you right now. We're going to just ask you who are standing to step out of your seat right now. Those who are standing, just step out of your seat and spend time with some of our consolidators. They just want to pray with you right now. And we'll bring you back in the service. I want the ministry team to come forward right now. Let's all stand. We're going to sing that song again, Open the Heavens. And as we sing that song, I want us to lift our hands and invite the Holy Spirit here today. Because we want the Holy Spirit's agenda for our lives. And as we sing this song, I believe that you're going to meet with God. Let's all stand right now together as a congregation. Now, as we sing this song, I want you to come forward if you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. I want you to come forward if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. If that's you, and you've never received the baptism, then you come forward. But if you've received the baptism, you come forward and receive afresh. And thirdly, I want to pray for you who are dealing with fear when it comes to evangelism. This week, we're believing God for a mighty harvest on Friday night. And God needs to give you that spirit of boldness to speak out, to invite somebody. If you're dealing with issues of fear, I want you to come forward and receive prayer tonight. And we're going to pray for you that God will break that spirit of fear and that boldness and confidence will come again into your life in Jesus' name. So come right now. Let's sing that song.